You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, America, and welcome to the Dan and Dave Show, exclusively on America's Web Radio, only because nobody else would have us.
Well, and good morning, Dave. This is America saying good morning back at you.
You're America?
I'm the voice of America.
I thought you were the New Year baby and always wore diapers.
Hey, now. You know, that New Year baby smokes cigars. I've seen that. The baby has a big cigar in its mouth. Have you seen that picture?
That's what makes him look so old on December the 31st.
Yeah. Well, I used to smoke cigars. I don't anymore.
You quit?
I quit.
I didn't know that.
I miss them sometimes.
Did you quit or did somebody quit you because she wouldn't let you smoke in the house?
No, it was my idea. I said, you know, cigars are probably not too good for my health. They're expensive, they're nasty, they stink, but I sure like them.
Well, I don't think they stink. I love the smell, and I love the smell of the smoke and all that, but I was never, not that I never smoked a cigar, but I never was a connoisseur of cigars, nothing like you were, and my problem with a cigar, people can get pleasure out of smoking a cigar and not inhaling. And I smoked so much when I was younger, cigarettes, that I couldn't help but inhale cigars. And that's why I'm only 2'3", you know.
It stunted your growth.
It stunted my everything. So, you know, that's the way it was. And so I didn't smoke many cigars, but I enjoy the smell.
You know, my dad probably went through a cigar a week, but I never saw him put a match to a cigar. He would just chew that sucker. Hmm. And, you know, he was a farmer, and he had a pickup, of course. And pickups get all dusty and dirty and everything. He would chew a cigar, put it down on the dash of the truck or pickup, and then if his throat got dry, he would pick that cigar up, which had to be coated with dirt and grime of all sorts, chew it in his, you know, chew on it for a little bit, spit, and then he was all good again. And we had a horse that followed my dad around hoping to get a chew on the same cigar. I think he set the cigar movement back a few years, but it was entertaining to watch.
That cuspidor, is that what it's called, or what's a humidor? Humidor, that's what I was saying about.
Yeah,
the pickup humidor,
right.
Humidor, huh?
He never needed a humidor. his truck was the humidor, I think.
Well, I tell you, don't pick on farmers. They're the greatest people in the world, and they certainly have done a good job over the years supplying us with food. And I, being a farmer at one time, and I have all the respect in the world for any farmer and the things that they put up with that the general public has no clue about. Have an attitude that is incredible. Tomorrow. I don't know of a. There you go again with your computer making noise in the background. I don't know of a farmer in the world that doesn't have the attitude. Well, next year.
Well, it had to be next year because it sure wasn't this year, was it?
No.
Yeah.
But it's.
Let's talk about farming for just a minute.
Sure.
In one particular segment of farming, which is seeds, and genetically modified seeds have certainly been in the news for the last few years, and Monsanto is the big
Monsanto
seed Monsanto is the big seed grower, And I noticed in the news that their stock was down just a little bit.
Well, you know,
what's your take on the GMO seed?
I just happen to know a little bit about it. I'm not in food products. I'm not real. What's the word that I'm looking for? I'm not that impressed, and I'm not that gung-ho about GMO in food products. Now, mm-hmm. what Monsanto has done, you know, they've answered the call of the Midwest farmers that are into ethanol and growing corn for not eating purposes, be it human or animal eating purposes, but to make ethanol, gasoline, a sort of gas. And, you know, they have not done that well with supposedly they were going to increase the crops and make these, you know, Superman heads of corn and just do all sorts of great things. And that has not worked out as well as they thought. By the same token, Monsanto has basically turn themselves into a monopoly, which I don't like, in the fact that I can take cottonseed, for example. When I was farming, buying the best cottonseed on the market would cost me basically $30 a hundred. I think, I can't remember, but it may have gotten up as high as $42 a hundred pounds of cottonseed. Now, with the genetic modified cottonseed, which comes with, and certainly I don't have the education to know how they do it, but each seed has its own herbicide as well as insecticide built into it. Now it doesn't kill every weed and it doesn't kill every insect, but it gets pretty damn close to it. But a 100-pound bag has gone from $30 or $42 a bag up to $300 a bag, which is just, you know, or I say $300 to $600 a bag, which to me is just beyond any idea in the world. And when I was farming, and like with your dad too, I'm sure, Dan, I could, if I wanted to, I could put in hybrid seed this year, and then when I harvested it, I could collect the seed and plant my own seed next year and not have to buy seed. It did go through a cleaning process, but beyond that, it was my seed. I could use it as I wanted. Today, a farmer buys from Monsanto, plants that seed, harvests his crop, and he can't do that any longer. That seed is destroyed, and Monsanto gets to resell the farmer a new batch of seed. So they've really, I'm not a Monsanto fan at all. They have become basically a monopoly and a dictator to the farmer in many cases. So that's what
what you're saying is, if I buy a GMO seed, plant it, I grow the crop, I harvest the seed from that crop, and I go back and plant the next year, it's not going to come up.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you've broken your contract when you bought that Monsanto seed, and you can't plant what you've grown. You can't.
I see it. So it's a contractual agreement,
right,
that you can't harvest your own seed.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking at a Monsanto company stock index, and a year ago their stock was at 119. And right now it's sitting around 87. So the stock has come way down for some reason, and I wonder what that reason might be.
Don't know. I have no clue. I know there's,
yeah,
you know, and like I said, on from a cotton standpoint, I don't have a big problem with genetically modified seeds. However, I do have a problem with them dictating that I have to give, you know, the seed doesn't go back to them. The seed is destroyed, and you have to buy new seed from them each year. And you really have no choice. You know, when I was again, when I was farming, you know, you planted the seed, you worked your crops, you hoed the weeds, you sprayed, you put down, not Roundup, but God, I can't even think of the name of it now. But we had pre-emergence that we put down for weeds that worked fairly well, not as well as some things. And then you hoed it, and then you also, if you had insects, you sprayed for insects. And that was the way it was. The new products, the GMOs in cotton, are supposed to take care of all of that. However, as my farmer has told me many times, it's good in theory, but it doesn't do away with all the weeds. And they now harvest the weeds, or at harvest time, they sort of don't pay any attention and hope for the best. So,
Now your situation is you strip cotton, you don't actually pick it. You go in there and once a year at the end of the season you strip it, so you're taking in a lot of debris and excess matter, and then it goes to the gin and it's cleaned.
To an extent, they can't get all out, obviously.
So what do you think cottonseed sells for right now? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to remember if it's 300 or 600. Put that in, Monsanto cottonseed. What does it cost? It's either $300 or $600 a hundred weight. I can't remember what my farmer told me.
Here's the price in 2012 of $240 a hundred weight.
Okay, well, I guess it's $300.
And cottonseed varies depending on what kind of seed you get, obviously.
Well, put in Monsanto cottonseed and see what you get for cost.
I'm on a cottonseed, wholecottonseed.com site, and they have a beautiful picture of a field of cotton. My eyes are loving looking at it. I tell you, it's been so long since I've seen a beautiful field of open cotton ready to pick.
Yeah. Oh. It is a beautiful sight, and it's, out of the years that I farmed, I guess I had, best I remember, and I think I remember it pretty well, I had one great crop. You know, I had a couple of busts, and I had a few mediocre or average years. But I had one outstanding year, and that was, before you defoliate or before you get a frost, I think it's beautiful seeing the white cotton against the green of the cotton plant. You know, it's just it's gorgeous, and that all in a row, in a straight row, it's a sight to behold.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. And then a farmer like you, if you have a good year, you just look out there and cotton looks like, $50 bill, $100 bill, all planted in nice rows. And I don't see a price on Monsanto cottonseed right as I'm looking here.
Well, while you're looking at that, we've got to take a break, my friend. We've already blasted through the first segment. We'll be back with Dan on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
I'm Marita News, and I would like to invite you to listen live or download my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio, and I must apologize to Christine. There was a miscommunication on my part. She will be joining us next week with a little five-minute rundown of the corruption in the world of green, and that should be very interesting. She stays on top of it and is going to bring us a little five-minute segment, I think, about 7:40 on Monday morning, or 7:40, 10:40 on Monday morning, 7:40 your time.
Yeah, 7:40, yeah, you betcha.
So that ought to be interesting. So you didn't find the price of seed, huh?
No.
We came, I had a friend of mine on Facebook. I was going into the test. This was from 1912, and it's a test from, I think it's Butts, what is it?
Bullitt County.
Yeah, Bullitt County Schools. And
wherever that is.
Yeah. And this was in 1912, and just some of the questions will boggle your mind, and as you and I discussed, in my opinion, I doubt that many, if any, school grade kid, high school, well, I'd even say college, could pass this test. And this was 1912, and this was for what grade was it?
Eighth grade,
okay.
This is amazing. I mean, not only the questions, but the wording of the questions and the thought behind the question is just, I can't believe it's America. You know, it's so different. We've changed in the last 100 years, and this is a great indicator of that change.
Oh, yeah, and the values of what is important. And this certainly shows that our values have changed. There was a question on there. If you've got, did you print it out or have you got it pulled up on your screen?
Yes, I'm looking at it on screen.
Okay, I only know, and I have only known one person in my lifetime, and maybe it might have been the only person in the world at the time. I don't know. But if you scroll down or under arithmetic, and I haven't got that part printed out. I was looking for it, but I don't. I think it's the last question about the size. How much wood would you have in cords if you did thus and so, and this was how much wood you had? The only person that I know that I've ever known that could have answered that question was my father. One, he was...
Well, let me read the question to you. Okay, at $1.62.5 a cord, what will be the cost of a pile of wood 24 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet 3 inches high? Now, they could have just said 6 feet high, but they said 6 feet 3 inches high. I mean, this is a hard And, of course, you have to know what a quart is.
Ding, ding, ding. You know, I have seen my father. We'd go out every year because we always had a fire in our fireplace when I was growing up. And I've seen my father go out and buy a quart of wood. Okay, that sounds like a simple thing. The guy would deliver it, throw it over our fence, and then stack it for him. And my dad would say, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you're short on, you know, you haven't even given me 3/4 of a cord of wood. And I thought my dad and different guys bringing wood were about to get into fights. But he knew exactly what a cord of wood was, the measurement, everything. He could spit it out, and the guy would look at him like, oh, geez. And, you know, all of a sudden here would come more wood until my dad was satisfied that he'd gotten a cord. And that was it. There were no questions. And, you know, he could take this and that question and could have answered it probably in about 2 minutes or less. He could have taken his paper and pencil and given you an answer within a minute or so. But
wood back then was important.
Sure. And
it meant staying warm that extra month of winter.
I have no clue what a cord is, you know? Back then, back when I was a kid, they used to, generally wood was approximately 2 feet long per piece, you know? But then how much density and, you know, and that 2 feet by this, by that, you know. It's a cubic, a cord is a cubic measurement, I think. Wouldn't it be? The width size, or the width, the length, and the height. That would make
up. Well, it's 4 by 4 by 8. So you would have 128 cubic
16
feet.
Times 8, whatever that is.
Yeah, 128 cubic feet.
Okay, so, you know, did you know that off the top of your head? No, you didn't.
Well, sure. I keep facts like that written on my, I have a tattoo, you know, conversion chart tattoo.
You know, some people would kid about that, but I think you're probably serious. I think I've seen it, actually.
No, you haven't.
But
a quart of wood was important to your dad.
Yeah. Well, and he didn't want somebody taking, you know, and he would never say it if it was close. But if it wasn't close, he would definitely make a point of it. You're selling me a half a cord, not a full cord.
And, okay, well, knowing that a cord of wood is 4 by 4 by 8 at 162.5, that's an interesting thing, too. $1.62.5.
Yeah.
Why would they say $1.62.5?
Why is gas $2.99.5? Or 2/10 or 3/10 or whatever it is. Or 9/10.
I don't know.
2.099, I think, isn't it?
You know, this test looks worse than my college test. This is a bad test.
Oh, yeah. It's tough.
Describe the Battle of Quebec.
My answer would be, I'm not Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Who invented the following? The magnet, telegraph, cotton gin, sewing machine, telephone, phonograph. Now, we probably know some of those. But, you know, it's a tough for an eighth grader. An eighth grader has to be paying attention. He has to be doing his homework. Mom and dad need to be talking to that kid at night.
Mom and dad probably might or might not have known. It was probably up to the kid to know, you know.
They knew it, and they expected the teachers to teach it to their kids.
And let me ask, in my opinion, I didn't see a lot of this that I wouldn't say kids shouldn't know today, but they don't. My bet is that a college student couldn't get 50% of these questions right. What is your guess?
Oh, 50% would be way high.
Yeah.
Way high. Here's a question. Parse all of the words in the following sentences. John ran over the bridge. Okay, I didn't know what the word parse meant until about 10 years ago. I mean, this is a great test.
Okay, John is the John is the noun. Let's do that.
Yeah.
John is the noun. Ran is the verb. Over would be the adverb, right?
Yeah.
And what's the?
Yeah.
John ran over the.
The.
Well, the is an adverb too, isn't it?
No, the is something else.
Okay.
And then bridge is a noun.
Is a noun, yeah. Or pronoun, actually, isn't it?
No.
Or it could be a noun, I guess.
No.
I mean, we'd make little, chart things of each of a sentence. We'd dissect it and put it in, you'd have the noun, you'd have the verb, you'd have to, and the adjectives and all of that stuff. Maybe it's not important today because of computers, but then again, I look at computers and it's like everybody depends on spell check. Well, the spell check is fine if it's a right word.
We have a candidate right now for president who does not speak in complete sentences. Now, if you were asked to diagram one of his so-called sentences, I think it would give you diarrhea. I think you would have a headache all day.
Which idiot is that?
Well, his first name starts with a D and his last name starts with a T.
Ah, he speaks in...
And he's a Republican.
Ah, well, we don't know that for sure, do we?
Well, what do you know for sure? I named three things that you know for sure, and I'll contradict two of them.
Time for a break?
I hope so.
If I could find my mouse. There's my mouse.
Yeah. Give us a break.
Yeah, give us a break.
Well, diagram the sentence, we will take a break.
I used to enjoy that, actually. And I'm trying to think, we were, in about the fourth or fifth grade when we'd diagram sentences? Maybe the sixth grade as well?
I have no idea. I thought I was in high school. I don't know.
No, it was much earlier than that. Maybe it was in junior high, but... I used to... one last question. Is, in your opinion, is that important to know? Is it important to know the noun or the pronoun or the verb or the adverb?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. Part of me says it's not important, and part of me says it is. Think about that over the break, and let's talk about that.
You got it. We'll be back right after this.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's DOCS, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Nunes. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, so as we left, I had just asked Dan if he thought knowing what a noun, a pronoun, a verb, an adverb, a preposition. I'd forgotten that. That's the is a preposition. I'd forgotten a preposition.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good word, preposition.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, it's not, because nobody knows. So why should I know something that 95% of the population doesn't know?
Or care. Yeah, you know, and you say it's not important, but I get, being in the business that I'm in, and I get, you know, some people in here and on the shows that have education. They've got their bachelor's degree. Some of them may have their master's or doctorates. In fact, some are doctors. But, you know, the old deal of the, and you and I still remember chalkboards, but a lot of people don't even know what a chalkboard was or is. And the nails on the chalk is when I hear somebody say, now, when you and I were going to school, it was, Dan, you and I are going to go to the bookstore. But I couldn't tell you how many people, me and Dan, or me and you, are going to go, that's wrong. Me and you, you don't put me first. It's you and I, or, you know, whatever. And I hear that.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts when somebody says, me and Joe went to whatever.
So when are we going to the bookstore? You want to go to the bookstore?
I can't read. I'm illiterate.
Yeah. You know, on this this website, which is AmericanIntelligenceReport.com/8th-grade-test, there's a picture of eighth graders. I guess they're eighth graders studying at their old-timey desk. And I swear I can see my dad right in the middle. And he used to tell stories about the one-room schoolhouse where all the grades were mixed. And he would sit in his desk, and the old wood floor had cracks in it. And he would look down, and he would see chickens scratching for worms and food underneath the floor of his classroom.
Huh.
So he would bring a fishing line with a hook on it and lower it down through the crack and catch chickens. And then when the class was over, he would run down there and grab the chicken, take it home, and that's what they would eat for the night. Now, I don't know whose chicken it was.
That was your dad in Roswell? Or?
No, he was in Texas at the time.
Huh.
And, you know, of course they walked to school, and there were two ways to go. One way, the shortcut, was through the cemetery.
Yeah.
So they never took the shortcut. They would always take the long cut. And, you know, he didn't wear long pants until he was, I don't know, sixth grade or something like that. And the eighth grade was the highest grade he ever completed.
You know, with few exceptions.
Yes.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, so this is fun for me. I'm glad you brought this eighth grade thing to our attention this morning. This was really fun for me, remembering my dad and his story.
Well, now your dad finished what, did you say? The sixth grade?
Eighth grade. Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't know that. But look at the foundation he had. He went on with an eighth grade education and was a successful farmer and did very well. You take you take an eighth grade education today, you couldn't become a tire changer.
Well, I sure think I agree with you there. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if he could pass a test, this kind of test, you know, he would have had more knowledge than our college graduates have today, in my opinion.
You know, and I think he was in a situation in his life that he had to be a learner. If he didn't figure it out, he probably wouldn't have survived. You know, it was during the Depression. It was during... you know, people were self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't put food in your own mouth, you might not have lived too long. So you had to be a learner. You had to understand how things worked, how raising a crop worked, the seasons, how to take care of crops, how to harvest, how to prepare the food. Whole different world, huh? Whole different world.
You know, it's funny. Because my grandfather, both of my parents graduated from college and so forth and so on. But my grandfather, my mother's father, always laughed about the fact that he had an eighth grade education but graduated from college. And the story was, and this is true, the story, he grew up in a wasn't even a dot on the map called Lot, Texas. And mm-hmm. he went to school and went through the eighth grade. I don't know what the magic thing was about the eighth grade back then, but got through the eighth grade and then dropped out of school to help farm. You know, his parents were farmers and he helped on the farm. And then I can't remember the story of how old he was, but... He bought a pair of used pants because the only other thing on the clothes that he had was overalls, and so he had bought a pair of used pants and a used shirt, and he walked to Waco, Texas, and he somehow, I guess he took an entrance exam or something, but went to, in Waco, Texas, I believe it was American Business College was the name of the place. And he went to college, went to business school. And,
oh, my goodness.
I've got his degree hanging on my wall in the basement from American Business College. And back then, each semester, you went in when you were accepted. Oh, by the way, the pair of pants, by the time he had walked and sat and walked and got to college, he had bought a pair of used pants, and they had a big hole in the bottom, and he had to go to class like that until he could afford to buy another pair of pants. But anyway, he was a proud, proud guy, and on his diploma, when you enrolled, you got the Dan Kreider diploma not filled out, and some calligrapher, as you went through each semester, would write in the course that you had taken, math, grammar, whatever the heck it might have been, business, law, or whatever. And then, this is the beautiful part, and then they put your grade in it. You made a B or an A or a C or whatever. And my grandfather made A's and B's the whole and through all of it. And that's, you know, and he bragged about, or not bragged about, but he talked about, you know, having an eighth grade education, but he had gotten his business degree, and I cherish that degree that's hanging on the wall more so than I do mine.
Oh, Dave, when you're telling that story, I had chills going up and down my back. My mom lived in, I think, Corsicana.
Corsicana, yeah, sure, Texas.
Which I don't think is that far from Waco. But she went to school. She went to college in Waco at a place called...
Mary Hardin Baylor.
American Business College.
Okay, really?
And she got her degree or her certificate whatever it was in, but she learned shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went on to work for a Chevrolet dealer there in Waco. And all through her life, she was so proud that she went to business school and got that certificate. So when I'm listening to you talk about your granddad, it's just, it's amazing. It's I just chills running up and down my back because my mom was so proud that she could do shorthand.
Yeah.
And that was a skill that stayed with her all her life.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was American Business College. And I hadn't even thought about that until you said that, and I'm pretty sure that was the name of the school. But it was in Waco.
Yeah, yeah. I know I don't know what we're talking about. I guess people are going to probably hang up on us today. But
yeah.
Another story about my grandfather and that part of Texas was that, you and everybody else, it's still a decently popular soft drink called Dr. Pepper. And I think I've told you the story, but my grandfather, Dr. Pepper, back in at the turn of the century, the 20th century, Dr. Pepper was a snake oil salesman. And it was just like you'd see on TV with the doctor so-and-so, elixir of life, and yada-da-da-da. Well, Dr. Pepper, that's how this guy, he had invented this drink, and he rode around in his cover wagon or his wooden wagon or whatever selling Dr. Pepper, and it was not a soda back then. It was an elixir, and on the label, and I don't know if you can remember this, but I remember it very well, was that it had on the front of it was a clock that said 10, 2, and 4. And he would up on his stand and say, you drink this, and it will make you regular. You drink it at 10, 2, and 4, and you will be regular for the rest of your life. Well, the reason is, and still is, the main ingredient of Dr. Pepper is prune juice. And my grandfather knew, quote-unquote, Dr. Pepper. And he always swore, and he knew him just as Coca-Cola was coming out as a soft drink, and shortly thereafter, they made Dr. Pepper a soft drink. And my grandfather's goal was to own Dr. Pepper plants, and he owned two in New Mexico during the Depression, and he was very fortunate. My mother's father and the family was very fortunate in that he laughed at the Depression and said, even during the worst of times, a person could come up with a nickel and buy Dr. Pepper. And that's Clovis.
Wow.
He owned the Clovis and, God, I can't remember the other place.
Wow.
In New Mexico, just across from Texas. And they would,
wow.
I'll tell you one other and right quick. They would, my mother's family, we called him Bad Boy, and there's a reason for that. But anyway, they would all go over to New Mexico, and they'd leave early in the morning to make it, it was more than a day trip. Or it was a day trip to get there and back. But anyway, they'd leave early in the morning, and if it was during the winter, they would heat bricks in the fireplace and put the bricks in the car so they could stay warm driving over in the morning to New Mexico. There were no car heaters back then.
Yeah, true story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true story, I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Things have sure changed, haven't they, brother?
Oh, yeah. Could we make it? Well, we can make one thing for sure. We got to take another break on the Dan and Dave cluster today. We'll be back right after this.
This is Daryl Pullis inviting you to listen to America's Homegrown Veggie Show right here every Saturday morning at 10 Eastern Time. Great guests, great tips, and valuable information about growing your own vegetables, fruits, and herbs.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. I want to thank all the folks that have tuned in and have stayed with us through. I'm not sure how you would describe this show other than nostalgia or what are we doing today or how bad is our school system?
Well, this has been one of the best shows for me just because of your grandfather going to that American Business College in Waco, Texas. I mean, wow, what are the chances? That's just cool.
That's cool. We ought to tell people that's sort of no difference than you and myself, how we met, you know? We talked about the fact that we met in basic training. We'd never seen each other, or I don't remember ever seeing you before, and vice versa, I'm sure. And yet, as you and I talked in basic training, we had been at the same places at the same time. Your girlfriend lived next door to my aunt and uncle. You brought food over to my aunt and uncle's house when my uncle died. We were at the same place at the same time. Many occasions, as best we could figure, and had never met.
Yeah.
Then again, you were so much taller than me, you probably looked over my head and never noticed that I was down there.
Yeah. I would see you coming and I'd duck behind the door or something. I don't know.
Were you saying my reputation sure preceded myself?
No.
But anyway. So your mother going to that school, where was your mother from? Oh, you said Corsicana, right?
Yeah, well, after they got married, they were in a little town of Pursley.
Pursley?
I'd be surprised if you've ever heard of Pursley, but it's
in the Corsicana area. Huh.
And they took care of the church. They were the caretakers of the little community church, and there was an outbuilding that they lived in, not that kind of outbuilding, but a building adjacent.
That's
to
probably
the
what they had, though. I doubt that they had plumbing.
That's probably what they had there, yeah.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Times have changed.
Well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, and I put quotes around the think, I think I could survive, but, and I think probably both of my sons could make it like that. But how many other people couldn't survive if you didn't have running water, you didn't have a bathroom in your house, you know? What if you had to literally, if we had an EMP attack, you literally were camping out in your own house? How many people could really handle it as they did back? And it wasn't camping out. That was the way of life in 1910, 1920.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could have had an EMP attack back then and not known it.
Yeah.
It would have been totally unaware.
Same day, second verse, you know.
But, right. Yes, sir. Wow.
Always interesting, huh?
Well, I don't know what to talk about the final few minutes. I'm emotionally drained here.
I will do as you say. I will take a picture of it when I go home tonight and send it to you. That would be coincidental, wouldn't it? That your mother and my grandfather went to the same business college.
Yeah, and I don't know if I have her degree, diploma, or certificate, or whatever it's called. But if I could see a picture of yours, I would like to show my sisters and see if they have seen anything like that, because it'd be fun to come up with her certificate. She put so much pride into obtaining that document.
Oh, yeah.
She would just glow.
Yeah, yeah. It was you know, an accomplishment. I bet she didn't go through shorthand in one semester. It was probably four semesters or five or six or I don't know how many. But
yeah, oh yeah.
And they'd take proficient. You know, if I don't know if you can, I can say this because I'm an idiot anyway. But out of all of the schooling I've had, graduating from college and all of that. You know the most important course that I have always thought that really stuck with me and that I was glad that I had taken?
No.
Typing. I've never been intimidated by a typewriter since I took typing. Miss, M-I-S-S, Davison was my typewriting teacher who I liked a lot, and we had the old manual typewriter, and and I got up to like 60 words a minute, correct words a minute, and you know, it's even helped with the computer. I can type. I don't hunt and peck.
You were at,
you know?
60 words a minute and 400 errors.
No, that's correct words a minute.
Oh, correct. My typing teacher was Mr. Long. And I remember Mr. Long, I remember typing class, and I would agree. I think that was important. Although at the time, it seemed like a throwaway credit.
Yeah, but it you know, it stuck with you. You can sit down at a typewriter. I thought I'd died in heaven when I had gone to heaven when I got an IBM Selectric.
Selectric, yeah, right, sure. Yeah.
Thought that was the greatest
thing. One of the things that I took to college with me. It had an old blue metal case. It was a IBM Selectric typewriter, and, you know, I'd take it and set it up in my room. I don't think I ever used it. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I would say something, but that would be rude.
Yeah, I know.
At least you told the truth.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. I took that to college with me, and my roommate was from Texas, and I could do about, I don't know, 50 or 60 words on the typewriter. He said, let me show you what I can do. So he got on it, and he was doing about, three words a minute. And I said, here, let me plug it in for you. And after we plugged it in, he did better. But, you know, these Texas boys are slow to learn. Where are you from again?
But he owned that big ranch, too, didn't he?
Yeah. I was thinking about him the other day and where he's from, and I can't remember where he's from right now.
Bickert.
His name was George. He had pimples everywhere. I mean, he was the most pimply-faced kid I've ever met in my life. I had nightmares about him squirting a pimple over on me at night or something. I mean, it's just...
Squirting what on you? I was one paying attention. What were you worried about?
Squirting a pimple. Popping a pimple.
Was he on the top bunk or the lower bunk?
Well, we didn't have bunks, actually. I think they were across from one another. We were in pretty luxurious dorm rooms.
Ah, you got the new dorms, not the old ones, huh?
We got the new dorms. We were in Carpenter Hall.
Yeah, I remember
which I think was fairly new at the time.
Oh, Daniel. You know, nobody else may like this show, but isn't it fun to reminisce?
Well, it is, but it sure does make me feel old.
Well, I hate to tell you this, boy, but you are old.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't mention it. Don't mention the fact that I'm older than you.
Yeah, you're just a little bit older than...
I feel it. I got to go take my Geritol.
Yeah, that's a name that our young listeners wouldn't know what it means.
They wouldn't have a clue, would they?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, I guess we should be pleased that we made it this far, this long. And, next week we're going to have Christine coming on about 7:40 your time, about 10:40 my time. And she's going to bring us up to date on the corruption.
And what is she going to talk on?
The corruption in the green industry. And it's a subject that's rampant, except nobody's talking about it. Marita Noon, that does our energy show, she talks about it, and Christine Lakatos, right, talks about it. So she'll be on next week, and we'll probably, if I do my homework, I'll try to get a guest from American College in Waco, American Business College. It'd be funny if it. You know, I think actually it was bought out by, what's the big one now, or not big one, but starts with a D, or B. What the heck? It's been around for years and years, and I think that was bought out.
Well, Baylor is in Waco, right?
Yeah, well, it was Mary Hardin Baylor, and it was a girls' school, and then they made it into a university, and it became Baylor University.
Yeah, and then they got a football team.
Yeah. When it was Mary Hardin Baylor, my grandmother went to Mary Hardin. But it was an all-girls school back then.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that.
So, with that being said, my friend, it's time to get out of here. We're going to have to put the plug in the jug for another week. I'm sure there are a lot of folks out there that are thinking, goodness, that plug is going in the jug. Which means...
Yeah, I imagine. I'm going to go drink some Dr. Pepper.
I think you should. Become regular, my man. Become regular.
Absolutely. 10, 2, and 4.
We'll talk to you next week on the Dan and Dave Show, exclusively on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.